Preston and Steve Fun Size Podcast.
We have a last-minute guest. I had mentioned to Casey, I would love to get this guy on this morning.
Yeah.
Because he had a hell of a night last night.
So cool.
And I'm going to play you the clip. First time in his time in the bigs, in the show, for the Phils, steps up and knocks a two-run walk-off homer. And I'm telling you, the audio of this, the video of him rounding the bases will just make you smile. And then here's a clip of it right now.
Fly ball, left field. Heredia is going back toward the wall. It did creep into everybody's mind. It's a two-run walk-off home run. Luke Williams. Yes, sir. How about this welcome to Philadelphia?
Only five players in the last 20 years have hit a walk-off homer in their first MLB start, and he's one of them. So let's get him on. Let's welcome Luke Williams to the show. This morning, Luke. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. Good morning, guys. Thank you for having me.
Are you kidding me, man? Listen, I did not see the game. We're early risers, and I didn't see the game, but saw the video of you rounding the bases this morning, and, dude, it just made me so happy to see how happy you were. And what I don't know is how you did the rest of the game. How many at-bats did you get, and how did you do the rest of the game?
I had four at-bats, 2 for 4, and hit a double my second at-bat, and then two strikeouts.
A double and then a two-run walk-off homer.
That's awesome.
Yeah. In your wildest dreams, right? Never would have imagined that, I guess.
Never would have imagined it. Never would have dreamt about it.
You know, it's the kind of thing. And listen, it's one of those things that, here's to a long and wonderful career with many highlights. But this is this is a pearl. This is a precious thing that you know is just will be forever with you. Even as long as you've had a couple hours to ruminate and think about it. Have you fully wrapped your mind around how special this was?
I don't think I have. I came back after the game and spent some time with my family, and I think it hit me a little bit during that time, and then you know, just reflecting on everything throughout my career and, you know, today. But I don't think it's fully hit me yet. I will, but
nice. Well, what's your story, man? Where are you from, and how long you been playing ball in professionally?
So I'm from Laguna Niguel, California. It's right in the middle of San Diego and Los Angeles.
Okay.
I got drafted by the Phillies in 2015 out of high school, Dana Hills High School, and worked my way up the system.
Wow.
Played every single affiliate. Started as a third baseman, and then a few years back, kind of transitioned into a utility player kind of role, playing all over the field. And
you know what?
Here I am.
It's really interesting, Luke, because I'm normally familiar with the guys that are so good they get right into, you know, the bigs, as opposed to the people who keep grinding it out and sticking it out through the minor league system. Is that fairly common that people, you know, work through that system and eventually get up to the to the number one spot and stay there?
I think there's always guys out there that don't get as noticed as everyone else, and I'm not gonna lie, I had my fair share of struggles in the minor leagues, and but I didn't quit. I kept pushing, working hard, and I think people notice that, and I'm going to keep doing it the rest of my career. So,
yes. So Luke, you've been the talk of my family for the last 3 days because my mom noticed. My mom's a huge Phils fan, and there's a group text chat amongst me and my family. My mom noticed that you got called up the other day. So you get called up on Tuesday, you get to play, and then you start last night. But the reason why you were a part of our group chat was that my nephew's name is Luke William McElwain, and so it was special to see in the bigs this guy, Luke Williams, who's now playing. And so for us as a family, it was really cool. I'm really curious as to whether or not you got the ball after you hit the home run last night, because that's a memento that goes into the stands. Do you get to get it back?
Yeah, fortunately, the fan that he made one heck of a catch.
Yeah.
on the ball, he was nice enough to give it back to me, and we'll do something for him. Yeah. Give him some gear, give him some stuff. It was really nice of him to do that.
That's cool.
Hey, look, I want to ask about your transition from high school into the bigs and, you know, that decision that you made when you get drafted by the Phils, you know, coming out of high school. Like, how tough of a decision is that to make? Because I assume that if you're getting drafted by a professional baseball team coming out of high school, you're also getting recruited by all of the big colleges in the area. You know, I'm sure, you know, UCLA and Stanford and you know, Florida and, you know, you're getting looks at, like, so... So how tough of a decision is that to make to go there and not do college baseball?
Yeah, it was a big decision, especially because I told the teams I had, you know, a number or a round or whatever that I thought would take me away from college to go, and I honestly didn't think I was going to get it. Was convinced I was going to school. I was committed to Cal Poly San Luis Obispo.
Yeah.
And then it all happened. It happened. I was actually still in school when I got drafted.
It's wild.
My friend, and it's actually my brother's old roommate from college, and they went to high school together. His son was actually just drafted out of high school. I believe he went to Malvern, but he was drafted out of high school last year by the Padres, and it was, you know, sort of the same deal. And it's just, it's amazing that, you know, you can sort of spot that talent at such a young age. And, you know, at a certain point, you know, when you're playing, you know, your heads and tails are better than everybody that you're playing against. And then at a certain point, you're only playing with people that are, you know, either, you know, at your level or around your level. So, you know, so what was that transition like from high school into the minors?
Yeah, it was, at first it was good. You know, using the wood bat was a little different. I had used it in the past, but not, you know, on a consistent basis, but, Once the full season came around, had to put, you know, playing 140 games in a season, that was a big adjustment. You know, just getting used to that workload and getting in a routine and, you know, all the stuff that, you know, professional baseball players got to learn. I went through it, learned it, and it was, it was a long and tough process, but looking back at it, it's pretty awesome.
Hey, Luke, I wanted to ask, there was a story that I saw, it might have been a week or two ago, and I forgot which team it was, but it was essentially somebody had shown a picture of, and it was in the minor league system, of the food that they were served. And it was just like rinky-dink, you know, cheese on a piece of bread and everything. Did you catch this story about this crappy food?
Yeah, I did see that. I think it was... I can't remember what team it was, but yeah, I do remember seeing the picture.
And they were starting to maybe put a spotlight on the difference between getting to the show and playing in the minor league system. And, you know, it's a Herculean jump as
yes.
far as the amenities and you're being taken care of. How was your time? Were you struggling with, man, is this even worth it for a while because of the crappy food?
No, I mean, the Phillies, you know, Philly, their players, probably up to the best I've ever seen or heard
All right.
from other players. And it, you know, we never experienced any sort of food like that.
You never had cheese bread.
yeah, we never. No, yeah.
Okay. All right.
Any of that, you know, but yeah, it, you know, it definitely is a grind though. All those bus trips, motels. It's definitely nothing like the big leagues.
But, yeah, I mean, you know,
it makes it even sweeter.
That's
people,
great.
People say that it's a lot like Bull Durham, and it's an accurate representation. So over the weekend,
it's a very accurate representation.
Yeah, wow. I've heard that time and time again. So Luke, over the weekend, you helped Team USA clinch a spot with the Tokyo Olympics. You went 8-for-18 with a home run during the tournament. And so you were and are on Team USA, but now you get called up to the bigs. How does that affect your status for playing in the Olympics this summer?
Yeah, so the team is all non 40 man roster players. So, so now that the Phillies have put me on the 40 man roster, unfortunately I won't be able to, play.
Oh man.
How does that sit with you? I mean, you know, it's the Olympics.
Yeah. But, I was talking to someone the other day, it was Matt Brenn. I told him, you know, it was a pretty good situation. It was, something I've dreamed about my whole life, or the Olympics, where it's, the best of the best. So, I'm pretty okay with what.
Well, listen, you know,
I can hear it in your voice. Yeah,
and
man,
also, judging by the giant smile on your face as you were rounding the bases last night, it seems like you're probably pretty okay with that. And I got to say, as a fan and as a lifelong fan of this team, it was an absolute joy watching you round the bases last night.
I appreciate that.
Hey, have you ever gotten the Gatorade dump treatment before?
Not like that. No, that. I think it was Alvarado poured the ice on me. That hurt.
It hurt.
But it was three, right?
You got hurt because it was ice and it was so cold.
Yeah, and it wasn't just one. You got three buckets dumped on you.
Yeah, that was pretty incredible.
And Luke, your family was in town. Who all was in town for this?
Yeah, I had my mom, my dad, my younger sister, and my younger brother.
Wow.
So here, two of my uncles at the first game.
Oh man.
So listen, the mask mandates are being relaxed tomorrow. You need to take that mask off and walk around town a little bit and be worshipped a little bit because it's so awesome.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what's going to come from it, but I've heard that obviously I know what kind of town Philadelphia is, and I've heard that I may get noticed.
Yes, I mean, stop it up now because the great thing is you'll be celebrated and cheered when you make mistakes too. That's what Philadelphia.
Oh, yeah. they'll cheer you wonderfully when you make mistakes.
So it works the same way.
So Luca, my dad and son and I are coming to the game on Saturday. It's my first sporting event in a year and a half. I haven't been to a Phil's game in 2 years, so. I would really like you to hit another home run. If you could hit it to section 104, that's where we're going to be sitting. So I don't know.
All right, I'll see what I can do.
Okay, thank you. Yeah. Appreciate that. Two rows back.
Well, listen, man, we wanted to say congratulations and welcome to Philadelphia. That's just a really, really cool way to introduce yourself to everybody, man.
Yeah, I really appreciate it, guys. I appreciate you having me on your show.
Yeah, anytime, man. All right, congratulations. Thanks for coming on. Yeah. Luke Williams of the Phils knocked it out of the park. That was I'm going to play that again. This is so great.
Fly ball, left field. Haredi is going back toward the wall. It did creep into everybody's mind. It's a two-run walk-off home run. Luke Williams. Yes, sir.
Outs were
two outs, bottom of the ninth, down by one.
I mean, that's what you do.
Dream.
When you're a kid, you know, even as an adult, sometimes you go, okay, there's two outs, one man on. Yeah.
Bottom
like
of the ninth.
Game seven of the NBA Finals. Five, four, three.
Okay, let me do it again. Yeah. Five, four.
How many times?
Let's do it again.
Yeah.
Five.
Good for this guy, man. The footage of him rounding the bases, the entire team is out, like, you know, when a walk-off happens. They they welcome him. Is the hat part of their tradition now, hat?
This is a new thing. This is the last couple of weeks. And I think it was Archie Bradley started wearing it. And so, you know, the Flyers, all the teams have these traditions that surface every year. Mm-hmm. And this one now is for the Phils if they hit a home run. So they get to wear the hat.
Nothing beats the motorcycle
helmet.
Hat is
pretty cool. It was better than the golden helmet, I think, man. I love the motorcycle helmet.
You know, I think it was you, President, brought up the point about, you know, you're used to people just kind of popping on the scene. And, okay, they're kind of like quasi-phenoms.
Here's
okay?
the next big phenom. Right, next big story, yeah.
But you seldom hear the story about the sort of edging your way up, moving up incrementally sort of person. And sometimes, you know, the great ones come through that way, where they get a little bit of seasoning.
And Luke used the word grind, and that's exactly it. That was precisely it. I mean, you know, 6 years in the minor leagues.
Yeah.
I mean, I know he's a young man, but at some point you have to go, you know what, dude, I'm spinning my wheels here. I've got to look for a career.
I was telling you guys off air the other day that I have a friend who was in the minor league system for the Florida Marlins. And in his mid 20s, he realized he's probably not going to make it to the bigs, but you have to make that decision. Do I keep doing this as a profession,
right,
or do I think about looking into something else? And so he chose to leave baseball, but it's a hard decision because you think maybe I can make it to the bigs. I have a request. Can we play the audio of him in the post game?
Yeah, sure.
Talking about his parents again, because it's so cool.
Yeah, this is great.
I know you mentioned your family. We've showed them a lot the last couple of days. Like you said, it's great to have them witness this. I mean, what is that like to give them this gift?
You're gonna make me cry.
Sorry.
Can't even explain it. It's pretty awesome.
Pretty awesome.
Oh man,
that's so cool.
Well, because you know how hard he's worked.
Oh yeah.
You know, and to arrive in that fashion,
yeah.
You know, I mean, he could have just played the game and been just as happy.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not just as, but you know,
could have been happy.
Yeah. You've been really happy. Yeah.
You guys as parents, so you know when you're finessing your kids. I think my dad sort of always had, you know, at least projected to me that he had unrelenting faith in my ability to do something, to make something.
Oh, not my dad.
Yeah.
No. He's probably listening now. No.
He projected to me. He always encouraged me, and that was part of the deal. But I always assumed that there was a little bit of like, okay, I'll keep telling him. But so to see this, you know, the parents who stuck with him to get this.
Okay, so I'm watching the diving trials last night.
Right.
This is for the Olympics, and there was a gentleman named Andrew Capobianco, young kid. He nails this dive. I think it was like a reverse, like 3.5, whatever it was.
Right.
It was an amazing dive. And then they cut to his parents, and they were flipping out in the stands, going crazy. And so I changed my opinion on this because of what I witnessed this morning with Luke Williams, because his parents were going crazy, and his dad was a little over the top. And my wife and I were watching. I go, I don't like this guy, right? Because he was just a little too much.
He was too happy.
His dad?
Yeah, his dad was. And then then the very next, and so he was in second place, okay?
Right.
The next dive, he goes to do a 3.5, back 3.5, and he under-rotated. He ended up getting like 2s and 3s on the dive. It knocked him down to 9th place.
Right.
And they went back to his parents, and you know they were obviously upset. And then dad claps. He's like, all right, you know, like better luck next time. But like because
kill
of
that
what?
Kid.
Well, no. But I also
I never wanted you.
I've watched my kids play sports.
Your
They're
dad
not,
wants to tell you something. Yeah, I just you were an accident.
They're not anywhere near Olympic or professional levels, but you live and die with each at bat
sure.
and each dive, and you know so. I get it. And so whatever I was feeling last night, I feel the opposite of that now. And I understand, you know, why the parents were going
okay.
so crazy,
right.
you know, over that one little dive.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Well, that was cool, man. That was a nice little treat to have him on. And he's you can tell he's kind of new to interviewing as well.
Yeah.
So he'll get it. He'll figure
That's
it out.
It. Yeah. That's it.
God willing.
I'm sure they give you like a Mad Libs template.
Oh,
you know,
man, you absolutely do.
Yep. It's in Bull Durham.
Yeah.
You hit the ball, you throw the ball, you catch the ball.
Take them one day at a time.
And
adjective.
You win, sometimes you lose.
Noun.
Sometimes it rains.
Also, he was born the year I graduated high school.
Yeah.
Old lady, how you doing?
I looked at it, I was like 96. Oh.
So when you show up,
you're
like,
excuse me,
ma'am, do you need some help to your seat?
Seriously. Help that old lady.
You're very nice.
Yeah. That's cute. She can still make it to games.
Well, it was nice to have him on. Thank you for setting that up, Casey. That's cool.
More podcasts from Preston and Steve available at PrestonandSteve.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.